Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Have you ever had a ghost in your workplace? A lot of folks have. But what happens when that workplace changes hands and then dramatically changes what's going on in that workplace? What if the ghost is not all too happy about it? That story happens in a recent EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to find out exactly what happens when a bar turns into a, Lady of the Night building place type thing? Yeah. Well, hey, then check out the EPP bonus episode number 60 for that one. Sign up to get it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. It's only $5 a month to be an EPP, and your support keeps our show on the air. Please, if you like the show, consider helping us do this thing and support it with an EPP membership through the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And that indeed it is. Thank you for joining us for another hour of real ghost stories from real people. That's what we do here every single day on the show, Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for telling a friend about the show. Thanks for spreading the word on social media. We greatly appreciate that. It helps us grow in those rankings and gets more listeners and creates a better show for you. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
How are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well.
Good.
You're making spooky bricks.
Spooky bricks? Why?
That's what I call
spooky?
It. I don't know, because bricks are generally kind of spooky to me.
Do you like them or not?
I like them.
Okay.
Yeah. Jenny is crafting some things in there. Crafting's probably the wrong word for
yeah.
This is not a craft. You're putting up something on a wall, faux brick. But it's like you're actually regrouting it, and it's going to look a lot better than my parents' basement did in 1984.
Okay, Jenny's HGTV moment. I'm taking brick paneling, and we have this recessed arch that's in our entryway, and I'm putting it in there for the full size of the arch, painting the brick to not be just the hideous red, and then I am actually grouting where the mortar is, the fake mortar on the brick, so that it has a texture. And I can put a picture up when I'm done.
Yes, when we're not talking about ghosts, we're making home improvement projects. It's the result of too much HGTV.
It's my hobby.
It's fun, though.
It is.
And I think, I don't know, brick walls, you know, I just kind of get the spooky vibe to them. And I like that.
It looks like a warehouse
kind
opening
of,
that's been bricked off.
Yes, and very soon we're going to hang meat hooks in our living room as well. It's gonna. That's the next touch.
That's a little too industrial.
It's coming in there later on, probably a little after Christmas. For some reason, meat hooks in your living room just don't seem. Unless you're doing Krampus.
Not doing any meat hooks for Krampus or otherwise.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Lots of ways for you to do that, of course, on the website as well, realghoststoriesonline.com. Want to kick off the show today. We got a letter from a listener, and it's actually a letter with a question in it, and it's a question directed at Jenny. It says, hello, my name is Maria. I'm a big, long-time listener of the show. The question for Jenny, I have for a long time tried to ignore the fact that I may be sensitive, but it often ended up with me having panic attacks and such. For you, how do you deal with an emotionally charged place? I was just in Salem, and after a night of ghost tours, I was left panicking and cried. And I tried calming myself down overnight, but nothing worked. It wasn't until I left Salem that I actually felt better. Do you often experience this? Is there a better way to deal with it? Jenny, to you.
I can say I don't experience it often. And most of the time when I do get in a situation where I feel that upset. It's that upsetting to me. I don't stick around, if at all possible. I don't really know that I have, and I don't have like a go-to method for getting through it. I just find that if I, you know, think a place may potentially set me in that kind of state, then I just avoid it. And I had to do a lot of really, I guess, self-coaching before we went to Savannah, because I was really worried that I would have a lot of experiences, I guess.
Okay.
But lucked out, didn't have really anything happen.
No, it was very, very relaxing, actually.
Yeah, so I try to just mentally stay as calm as possible, and I know that that's a lot easier said than done, especially if you are prone to panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really have a good go-to. I know I've been told before, you know, if you close your eyes and envision yourself in white light, that that helps protect you from whatever may be trying to latch on or get to you. But I know sometimes it's not something really trying to get to you. It's just the overwhelming emotion of where you are.
Sure. If you're a real sensitive person, you're going to, you know, really feel anything much deeper than the average individual would. So I guess it's really kind of a to each their own method.
Yeah.
You know, what may work for one person may not work for another. But, you know, look into different, and don't necessarily, I think, look at this from a paranormal angle if you're trying to find a solution for this, because it'll probably help with the paranormal issues when you come in encounter with them, or areas that you feel more sensitive, but they'll probably also help with any other areas where you may be feeling like you're having a panic attack, but just different ways to deal with the panic attack.
Yeah.
And ways of coping, and try to find what works for you and then stick with that, because it is really to each their own.
And I know my answer was not a very helpful answer at all, but it's exactly like you said, it is to each their own.
But look from it, like I said, look at it at a different angle other than paranormal, because that may not be where you're going to find the answer. It may be just coping with panic and anxiety, and then that can be applicable when you're in a situation where paranormal may be involved.
I think sometimes for me, it does help to try and figure out why I'm feeling that way.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, like if I'm at Ellis Island, I know why I'm feeling that way. I'm feeling all the generations of fear that's left over from that place, from, you know, people coming over and all the sadness and excitement. And it's just so overwhelming. That's why I will never go back there. But my former place of employment had such a dynamic just between the employees that I felt that tension physically to where I left when I had Harper, went back for a month and left again. I was done. Couldn't do it.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it can be amongst the living. It can be amongst the dead.
Mm-hmm.
The energy is there regardless. So there you go. Thank you for writing in that question. Of course, our phone number 855-853-4802 and our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And that was a letter or a question that was sent to us actually via Facebook and our Facebook page. Let's go over to a caller in Minnesota. Hi.
Jenny, this is Hua from Minnesota. This is my first time calling. Been a subscriber for about 2 months now. Really love the show. So I'm gonna relay one of my stories. Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous, so forgive me. Well, this happened a while back while I lived in California. Back then, when in '97, when the having same-sex marriage and liking somebody from, you know, the same gender was not really appreciated or not looked on, you know, not really something of that time. Well, I have a sister where she had these two friends, and when I was a kid, they would come over to my house, and my sister would interact with these two girls. Well, you know, I didn't really know at the time that they were, like, in this love triangle. My sister, she didn't really tell anything to our family, but it was later on when I heard my parents, were arguing with her or were, like, you know, angry at her, and they were yelling at each other, and that's when I learned that, you know, two girls and my sister had this type of relationship. You know, they were really liking each other. Well, it didn't sit well with my parents, and, you know, like I said, during that time, it was, you know, it was not something of the norm for that type of relationship. So it was really looked down upon, and my sister was depressed. And during that time, her friends were depressed too. And what was weird was they tried to get married, but since nobody wanted them to get married, and, you know, well, nobody from their family, and they were despised, these three individuals, so my sister and her friends, went out, and they kind of, like, did some type of, like, blood omen oath where they swore that, you know, whether they live or die, they will be together. Well, after that, like, a few days after that, I heard news, like, we were watching TV, and there was news that there was a suicidal at, you know, the lake that was near our city, which was Middleton Lake. And the weird part was, after they passed away, we, you know, they started, there's gossips going around, and we finally figured out, like, people finally told us that, oh, yeah, these girls were lesbians, and they wanted to get married with each other, but, you know, their families wouldn't appreciate that, and they were denying all stuff, so they felt depressed, sad, and went away, and they were going to commit suicide. And one of the person that was supposed to commit suicide with them was my sister. Well, she didn't go, and that day my dad held her back, so it appeared that her friends went, and they actually went on with it, and they killed themselves, you know, up by the lake. And after that, you know, my sister was in this really down mode, and my parents and them, like, kind of, you know, didn't know what to do. They kind of just try to cheer her up and try to, you know, tell her that, you know, it was okay. And after a while, you know, that day, that night, like, the weird part was I was sitting at home, and after it appeared on news that they apparently suicide, I was sitting at home, and all of a sudden I got this, the phone rang, you know, and I went to go pick it up, and from the phone, there was this really weird voice, like, really static in the background, and this really weird voice, like, speaking really slow, like, asking for my sister, like, really slow, like, and I got kind of, like, freaked out, and I was just like, okay, so who's this person that would call? I didn't ever, never really ask anything about it, but, like, you know, I nearly just, like, ran, you know, I was a child, so I ran to my parents and was like, hey, you know, somebody's calling on the other line. It's really weird because it's really staticky and they're speaking really slow. Well, my sister came and answered the phone, and it was, like, the moment she picked it up, she knew who it was. And at that moment, she got terrified, dropped the phone, threw it on the ground, and my mom just comes into, like, the room and goes, what's going on? And she... My sister starts crying, and then I just looked at her. I was, like, confused, like, so what? And then my mom hangs up the phone, and later on we found out that that was supposedly her friend from the past, like, from, you know, recently, that just committed suicide. And, you know, that gave me the chills because I answered the phone. I was like, what? Like, wait, but she's dead. How did she, was she able to call? But it was one of those things where I couldn't really explain what was going on, or I was just confused, but it was pretty paranoid for me. But anyways, yeah, I'm still freaked out to this day that it was, like, the weirdest phone call ever. Well, thank you guys, and, for, you know, I really love your show, and, yeah, I have a lot of other stories too, but I'll save that for another time. But thank you.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us here on the show.
What do you think? A call from the other side?
I think that makes total sense. I think it's one of those things where they wanted to let their friend know that they were okay, or one of them at least wanted to let them know that that the other side is there, and they made it.
Yeah.
I mean, really. So, I mean, it's not, I mean, as strange and creepy and bizarre as that is, it's not all that uncommon when it comes to ghost stories to have something like that happen.
No, it's not at all.
So that is probably exactly what it was. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Jesse. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Jesse from Iowa. Just want to share my shadow person story. But real quick, I have a quick question. Back in July, I shared a story about my partner and I pretty much getting chased out of a cabin by a demon in Missouri. It's kind of a good story, and I'm wondering if you guys ever got it. If you didn't, I'd be more than happy to share that again. If you did get it and had a hard time understanding me, I'd be, again, more happy to share that again. Sometimes I forget words, and my words get jumbled up, and sometimes I lose my train of thought. But if you guys didn't believe it, oh well. Anyway, so back to the shadow person deal. And this could be me, but I swear I saw shadows going across my room. But I'll kind of back up. Last year, my dad was dying of Lou Gehrig's, and it's not a pleasant disease if you know anybody's had it. Pretty much your muscles slowly deteriorate, your nerves shut down. It gets so bad there's the point you can't even swallow water, blink your eyes. My dad couldn't even close his eyes to sleep. It was pretty bad. So, and my mom was his nurse for pretty much over a year, and she's a very gentle soul. She's very sensitive, not like me sensitive, but just a sensitive person. It was really, really hard. I mean, she's a walking angel for going through all the bull crap a nurse has to go through to take care of any dying patient. And I love my mom. Our whole family loves my mom to death for what she did for my dad. But also, we're all kind of living together because our business is based around our house pretty much. And you just can't pick up and move shop. We have all this equipment. Anyway, so we're running this business. And last year was a living hell. Everything was going wrong. Had a lot of stupid stuff happen. So there's a lot of negativity going on in our house. So, and by the way, I love listening to your guys' stuff. I was a huge fan of Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters. That one show, Amy Allen on Travel Channel. I know you guys are probably pretty dorky. Maybe they're too overrun. But I just liked, even if they're all made up, it was still fun to watch, you know? Anyway, you know, I'm sensitive. I kind of draw this stuff in occasionally. But, and by the way, I did drink quite a bit when we were going through this stuff. Yeah, I know, past stories, I probably mentioned I'm a Christian, and that wasn't very smart of me. So please don't think of me as a hypocrite. It was just a really, really tough situation. I wasn't going the right places, you know. But I wasn't getting drunk. Mostly I just needed a drink, or I thought I needed a drink, just to kind of calm my nerves and just kind of relax a little bit. There's only a handful of times I can think of actually got really intoxicated and I got carried away. But those nights that either I did or did not have a drink, I swear sometimes I saw a shadow go across my wall in my room, specifically in my room. And it happened quite often. I mean, I'd be sitting at my computer, you know, researching, reading emails, doing whatever my business, and all of a sudden, whoosh, shadow go across the wall. And I pause and look up and go, I have no fan in my room. There's only one light. I wasn't moving. The TV's on, but how it's facing, there's no way a shadow could reflect or bounce off the TV. Ugh. Kind of spooky. Or sometimes, you know, you get up and turn around, you shadow in the corner, it's gone instantly. What is going on? And there was a moment this fall, I had this really huge fight with my dad. He did something that was really unethical in my business, and it made me so mad. He went behind my back and pretty much stabbed me in my back. And my dad was not that kind of person. I think the disease really affected his judgment. And he was a very wise, caring individual. And it totally changed who he was, which I understand because, you know, I'll never know what it's like to be in a wheelchair. And Lord willing, I won't never, or no one will have to experience that. But anyway, I was so angry, I just left. You know, I hunt, so I had to, so I go right behind me. I didn't get anything. I just needed to walk and just walk around creation and just enjoy everything, get my mind off it. But as I'm walking in the woods, I look and I see this brown mist hovering right in front of me. And I see this fade away in front of me. And it was a brown mist. And how it hovered, it was just eerie. I mean, it was gone. And it wasn't a reflection of the light because it was a cloudy, misty evening. And it was just, you know. After my dad passed, things got a little interesting. I had a couple moments where I heard scratching on my door. My door to the outside. And I heard one time I was doing a study in my room, in my living room. It was a rainy day, and usually, you know, weather when it rains, it's my day off. And I swear I heard knocking outside the window. I eventually told it, shut up and get out of here, and it stopped, you know. But anyway, weird stuff like that would happen. But there's one night I was in my bed praying to God, you know, just my normal routine. And I swear I looked at my closet door. My closet doors are always shut, and they're white. And I remember seeing a humanoid shadow figure, arms folded, tapping its foot, and like it just left. And I just, it sounds so weird, but it was the perfect shape of a person, kind of like a blobby human shape, kind of like the picture you see like in a men's bathroom door kind of shape. But it was just so obvious, and it was kind of never saw it again. And the last thing that really was kind of extreme, I was at the time my mom, this where I'm living at now, it was actually my parents' house, and I'm buying it for my mom, and she bought her own place, and because she just needs to be away from here, and I love it here, so which I totally understand why. and she, at the time, she had a little Maltese Bichon dog named Gracie, and this dog's favorite spot was on our little armchair on the top, and I would sit on the ottoman in front, right? So there's one evening watching TV, and just, you know, I'm about to go to bed, and all of a sudden I feel my shoulder being pushed on, like a gentle push, like, hey, I'm here. And I look behind me thinking, please let that be the dog. And the dog's licking herself on top of the chair. And I was just like, okay. I didn't freak out. I just got up, turned the TV off, stretched it. Well, time to hit the old hay, you know. And ever since, it's been a long time since I had any issues at all. And, yeah, I never had an issue ever since. So that's good. It's pretty much gone. A lot of the negativity in my life is out of my life. I think I just... my mom and my dad and I are just drawing a lot of negative stuff in and not letting the light come in instead, you know? So, and real quick. So, and really good news in my life, I'm getting married here in a couple weeks. And I thought it was kind of a good story to go along with this. My fiance and I were at Target registering for our gifts. And I said, you know, I don't need board games. Let's register for some. Oh, that'd be fun. So we run over and, you know, we're checking on the Monopoly and Scrabble and all that stuff. And then, I look down, and there's the Ouija board. Wow. And my fiance's terrified of this stuff. She hates ghost stuff. I love it. And that's going to be interesting. But anyway, and I think I'm kind of sensitive. And I can just feel the energy from that board. And maybe I'm looking too much into it. But I swear I felt like energy licking my face, just kind of enticing me to check it out. I mean, and every time I'm near something I can't explain, my heart has this very sinking feeling. And you feel the energy being drawn for me. And I was like, oh, let's get out of here. Let's hit the board games. Get out of here. So the thought was interesting. And one more thing, you know, last fall when my dad was dying, we keep hearing this ball roll around in our attic. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what's up there? What's going on? I'm freaking out. I mean, this is going on for months, even after he died. I'm home alone, and there's a ball. I'm like, what is going on? I mean, just like a big ball rolling across the attic. Well, finally, this spring, I went up there, and a freaking cat, a feral cat, got in my attic through my garage, because our garage, it connects to our attic, and there's like a really easy way to get up there, and a cat must have climbed the ladder up there and was living up there, because the insulation had a bad mice infestation. So for those of you hearing ball in your attic and you're thinking it's a paranormal thing, maybe check and make sure it's not a coon or a cat. That took a lot of my anxiety away, but the shadow people didn't go away after that until like just maybe 5 or 6 months ago. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed, and hope that kind of helps anybody out with anything that's going on in their life. And you guys are an awesome job. I love this, your podcast. I listen to all the old ones all the time. You have some really, really awesome stories. And you guys are just, I'm so glad I have a source I can share this with. And people are looking at me like, okay, yeah, you're a drunk or whatever. You know, I just, thanks for creating a safe environment, guys. Anyway, hope you guys have a great Halloween, and hope to hear from you guys later. Take care.
Okay, three things. First of all, congratulations on your upcoming wedding. That's awesome. Second of all, we did share your story of you and your friend in the cabin being chased out by the demon. As to what episode, I have no idea. So we'll leave that up to our listeners to see if anybody remembers where was.
How far back was that?
He submitted it sometime in June or July.
Okay.
So it's been a while, but I do remember that.
Okay.
And I honestly thought it was before June or July, but I'm not sure.
I kind of recall it, but I think it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and my memory is not good as far as placing where I heard a story.
No. And then last and probably most importantly, I think it's completely, I guess, normal to experience what you experienced while your family's going through, you know, your father's illness and subsequent death, because that just drains everybody. And it, mm-hmm. it just makes it very difficult to get through a day and be upbeat, because this is something that you'd never wish on anybody.
Sure.
And so for you to start having paranormal things happen around then, I think it makes more sense. I don't think it has to do with the drinking, because shoot, we all drink through things like that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's more so just the overall energy.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, negative seems to attract negative, and it's not that you were inappropriately being negative. It was a difficult time to go through. Unfortunately, as you know, you're probably aware because you listen to the show quite a bit, you know, things prey on people when they're in very difficult times.
Yes.
So maybe negative is the wrong word. Maybe just difficult and, you know, feeling down and all of that.
Yeah.
Everything that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's understandable. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here on the show. I want to let everybody know we have a new video feature that's up for our EPPs. It's called Talking Ghosts, and it's a little video thing that we've put together here, and it's going to be a fairly regular thing every week, every other week, something of that nature, where we answer your emails, your tweets, address things from the forum, that sort of thing, kind of, you know, interactive community housekeeping, if you will.
Okay.
Sometimes there's questions that linger and stuff, and we'll go over that on the show Talking Ghost, as well as also on the show take a look at some of the pictures that get sent into the show. Not all of them go right to the gallery. We're going to showcase some of them right there on the show itself. In fact, on the first episode, we feature two pictures. One's a prom picture with some questionable clouds in it, and the other one is a picture that I think I mentioned this on the show the other day. It's just so creepy and wrong, and it's like, oh my God, this person's gonna be calling in with ghost stories because of what they took a picture of.
Okay.
And it's involving a bag of bones, and there's a lot of them. And it's we got the picture of it. I didn't know what to say when I at first I'm like, is this real? I mean. And from everything I could tell, it seemed pretty darn legit. So anyway, you can check that out if you're an EPP. If you're not an EPP yet, sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. That's just another one of the many added bonuses that our EPPs get for helping to support the show. It's only $5 a month to be an EPP. Or you can sign up for a full year for $55 and save yourself. You get like 1 month free if you do it that way. That says it helps keep this thing on the air. So please consider doing that and enjoy. We'll have many more episodes. And we take a look at the movie trailer for the new horror movie that's coming out in January, The Boy.
I haven't even seen the trailer. I should watch that.
Oh, it's creepy. It's I watched it for the second time when we were doing the show the other day. And it's creepy. I'm having a better feeling about the movie than I initially did when I first kind of just skimmed the trailer.
Okay.
Because at first I thought, I don't know. I think it's going to be good. It has the woman who plays Maggie on The Walking Dead in it.
Lauren Cohen.
Yeah. I don't know how you know people's names. I
just do. It's my thing.
I don't know these things because in my mind, they're not important. And in to me, like, that just stuff just goes. I don't know why. I mean, I probably should know things. I mean, and there are plenty of important things that I should remember, like people's names that I actually regularly interact with, not actresses, and I forget them too.
Okay.
I don't know. My mind, it's like names. Can't pronounce them either. You may have gathered that much. Anyway, we talk about that a little bit. And it may be a possible, is it a tell to what's going to happen on The Walking Dead? The fact that there's this movie? I don't know. We'll check it out. Talking Ghosts is on the EPP website for EPPs. Let's go to another caller at 855-853-4802. Hi, you're on the show.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jim. This is Juan. This is something, to me, it was pretty scary. I haven't really witnessed any type of scary paranormal things happening, but this happened to me while I was at work. Stuck out to me the most, plenty of stories I've told that had some type of, you know, things to do with different types of spirits, but this one kind of caught me by surprise. has something to do with kind of an apparition. So maybe it's been about a year since I was working at my other job, which is Jewel. You know, didn't really witness anything paranormal in that area, but after I moved to a different part of my city, I also found a better job at Sears. Now, I don't know if you've been in any Sears warehouses, but they are huge and they have a lot of areas and dark spaces in them. And we do this thing called location, which we basically go to the back room and we get products in, like clothes, we check them off and see in how much we have in that area. As I was locating clothes, keep in mind there's a lot of dark spaces in the back, so you can't really see most of everything. And I've kind of witnessed, I would like to say, like an apparition peep his head out of one of the areas. It was dark, but you know, when I see something, I know I see it. I don't want to, okay, is that real? I know I saw it. Maybe in most times I would probably give myself out of that situation. Some things are best not to be tampered with, whether it's some type of object or kind of bring yourself towards things like that. But after that, you know, I kind of zoned myself away from that area, and I kind of stayed away from it, because that time I've told my coworkers and they all just laughed at me. You know, I was okay. Maybe it's not their time to witness anything like that, but when they do, maybe they'll listen to me. Kind of spooky. And then a few days passed, and I thought, okay, I saw what I saw, but hopefully it's over with. Wrong I was. There's a large area in the back where we store all the customer orders. When they order things online, we store them in the back. No one, it hasn't looked like anyone's been back there for decades, because a lot of dust, a lot of cobwebs and everything. I was told one of the recent owners died in the store, possibly because they said he wasn't running the store right, and I guess corporate was going to fire him and he didn't see another way out. He didn't want to give up his position as the manager of the job, and he took his own life in his office. It is said that his spirit roams the store. Maybe that's who I saw, because I saw him in the same back area as the dust and everything. It was kind of creepy, but you know, then again, the spirit, the ghost, the apparition, it didn't really do anything to me. It kind of spooked me because, like I said, I've never seen anything like that, like apparitions. Okay, I've seen objects move. I've seen things levitate. I've seen things being pushed. But seeing somebody in the front of my vision, something I'm seeing clear as day, took my breath away. It was something like off a horror movie. It's like you see it, but it's hard to believe, but it's there before your eyes. And I was kind of, I said, I don't have a word for it, but I'm pretty sure you guys get the drift. But thanks for hearing my story. I'm a big fan of the show. I'm looking to become an EPP, and thanks.
I think in a situation like that, it's only a matter of time before one of the other employees sees that.
Yeah.
And then comes to you, oh, man, you never guess what I just saw.
You'd be like, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to me, too. Things like that do tend to repeat themselves to other people.
Yeah.
So I imagine that will happen. Speaking of ghostly department stores...
Okay.
I just want to, this is in no way, you know, meant to be negative. It's just more so an observation than anything else. If you want to try and feel like you're going back in time a little bit, go into a Sears. It feels a little ghostly. It feels a little bit like you're walking back into, you know, at least one that's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and they just haven't updated them. for so long. I think it's, you know, it has a lot to do that company hasn't been doing super great. It is kind of like walking back in time.
Like 20 years?
Like about 20 years, yeah. And it's like, oh, this is how things used to look at department stores. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's odd. I mean, the one that I was in recently, it was clean, but it had things set up in a way, it's hard to describe, of, you know, the way that it looked so many years ago, and nothing has really changed.
You know what I really like is when you go to some of the smaller towns and they have a JCPenney on Main Street.
That's fun too.
And those are, they're like untouched from the 60s.
I like those. Yeah. Those are pretty cool because you really kind of get an old school feel.
Yeah.
Which is so, you know, because a lot of them are so identical, and it's like, you can walk into one Target and you've seen all Targets, mm-hmm. you know. But sometimes some of these other stores, it's like, oh, wow, this is, yeah. There's a chain called Yonkers in part of the country, and there's one of those in Door County in Sturgeon Bay. And I actually have two separate buildings their downtown because there's not enough room in the one building. And there's an upstairs and a basement to it, and it's a full-blown department store, but it's very much set up old school.
That's fine.
Which is just kind of cool. I don't know. I have a weird fascination with retail oddities and like abandoned malls and things of that nature. I don't know why. I guess I had a lot of fun at malls when I was a kid, like at the arcade and wandering.
Uh-huh.
So now when you see these things that were once so vibrant and exciting, and now a lot of them are just kind of rotting away relics. I don't know. It's intriguing to me.
It is.
It's just kind of the creepiness of them that I think draws me in. Anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, we would love to hear them. Hi.
How you doing, guys? My name is Eric from Far West, Texas. I've been a long-time listener for your show over a couple years now. I've always been a skeptic to the paranormal, to the ghost type stuff, to the demon type stuff, but really I just had a personal experience that I wish to talk to you guys about. My best friend had passed away a couple years ago on December 10th. So me and him were real close. He stayed the night at my house repeatedly. I'm 18, so back when we were about 17, 16, he stayed at night every single night at my house. My family was his family was mine, you know, vice versa. At the date that he died, he was murdered, by the way. A couple of days after his death, I felt a real, real sad depression. After a couple of days, I was in my room. I was a mess. I was crying. I was just reminiscing about our memories, you know. But my sink, I have a bathroom in my back room. My sink turned on. So at that point, I was like, "What's going on? It's a false valve." So I turned it off. I went back to my couch. I started reminiscing again. I felt a smack behind my head. That's, again, that was our inside joke, just smacking each other. I felt a large smack behind my head, and again, the restroom sink just turned on. Both of the valves. So I turned around and got up and tried to turn them off again. I turned them off, went back to the couch, and I was aware that I had made contact with some kind of paranormal activity. So I was just there sitting down waiting for another sign, but never again, never I had one. And after that afternoon, I had a series of dreams about him. He was just in my head for the next couple months, just dream after dream after dream. It was kind of crazy. I just felt like sharing that with you guys. I listen to you every night. I would donate if I could, but please keep on going with your guys' show. You guys are a big inspiration to me. especially since my best friend just passed away. And thank you guys again a lot. Have a good night.
Thanks for sharing your experience with us. It's one of those stories where your dream can kind of interconnect with reality and find some meaning to it and find some validity in that maybe it's more than just a dream.
Well, sure. And, you know, when he felt the smack on the back of his head, and that was kind of an inside joke they always had, I think it was more or less his friend doing something that he knew that was would only be him
sure.
that would do it, and just trying to say, hey, it's, we're all okay over here.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thing that that's all it was that they did.
Yeah.
Our inside joke used to be to push each other's heads down in the bathtub.
Yeah.
And then I felt somebody, you know, because that could get pretty bad pretty quick.
That wouldn't be good.
I don't know why you'd have that inside joke, but.
Well, like the brothers on vacation with the plastic bag.
Yeah. Yes. That's the inside joke. Suddenly, plastic bags. I was at Costco, and suddenly these plastic bags just flew up off the register and went over my head. You know, exactly. Exactly. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate that. Let's go to another caller.
Hey, Tony and Jenny, I've been listening for a couple months now, and I finally been prompted to call in when I heard your story or heard a caller's story earlier this week about the guy who got freaked out when he went to a Titanic exhibit at a museum. And I'm just calling because when I heard that story, I was like, oh, my God, the exact same thing happened to me at a Titanic exhibit at a museum. So it was this was in Washington, D.C. It was at the National Geographic headquarters in D.C., and it was probably around 2003. And I got there later in the afternoon, like only a half an hour before it closed, so there was nobody else in there. And I walked in, and I immediately felt totally overwhelmed with anxiety. And it was there was nobody in there. It was so super quiet that it was almost like the quiet was amplified. And I was basically like feeling like I was having a panic attack. And at the time, I had a bad anxiety disorder, so it was normal or kind of ordinary for me to feel anxiety out of nowhere for no reason. So I was trying to calm myself down and, you know, talk myself out of it and just walk through the exhibit, and I couldn't do it. I had to turn around and leave because I felt such an overwhelming sense of dread and fear. So I don't know if this was the same exhibit that this guy went to or not, but it's at least happened to me too, and I wanted your caller to know that. And also I'm wondering, because at the time, Jenny, maybe you can speak to this. I think you have some background in psychology, but I used to have this anxiety disorder, and it was not uncommon for me to be somewhere and out of nowhere just start to feel this horrible sense of dread and fear. Like even just out walking in nature or, you know, it would seem like it came out of nowhere. And looking back, I wonder if a lot of that was just me picking up on, like if I was just super sensitive at the time and picking up on some kind of bad energy or something that now I don't have anymore because I have the anxiety under control and I take medication for it and it never happens to me anymore. So I have a feeling that being medicated for that is actually dampening the, you know, the sensitivity to, you know, whatever energy or entities. But so I just wanted your caller to know that I had the same experience, and it's not really, I don't know, you know, if it was paranormal or whatever, but it happened to me. And I love your show. And thanks. Bye.
You know, I don't remember exactly which museum it was where the guy had that experience. I know there's a big one in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and I know that there's one in Branson.
Yep.
I just don't know which one it was. But
and there's been traveling ones. There's one in Las Vegas, or there was for a mm-hmm. while. And there is, I don't know if the exhibit is still traveling, but there's multiple museums that have artifacts.
Sure, but I think it's a, you know, a byproduct of being a sensitive
sure.
person in that, you know, I don't know if it's something coming off of the artifacts themselves or you're just overwhelmed by the feelings that those people probably went through. So I know I went through the traveling one that came here however many years ago that mm-hmm. was, and that wasn't fun. And as much as I enjoyed, you know, studying Titanic and all that, I didn't enjoy that experience at all.
Were you really overwhelmed?
I kind of was.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was a lot younger, and I don't know if with time I've just gotten better at handling mm-hmm. those emotions or whatever. But, you know, I think that it's one of those things where as you get older, you probably do get a little bit better at handling it. But when she was talking about taking meds for anxiety and dampening sensitivity, I don't necessarily see that as a bad thing. I kind of enjoy that with my anti-anxiety sure. meds, is not feeling everything all the time.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the benefits outweigh the negative of maybe you're not going to be as sensitive to ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's definitely a positive thing. There's actually a whole thread of that, people weighing in with their opinions and thoughts on our forum section at realghoststoriesonline.com. So if you want to read there, too, I think it's kind of the general consensus.
Sure.
So interesting stuff. 855-853-4802, our phone number. Let's go to Jackie in Wisconsin.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Jackie from Wisconsin again, calling to kind of share a bit of a aha moment that I had just recently. I'd been thinking a lot about bunk beds and weird bunk bed stories that I keep hearing over and over and over again and these shows. And my brother and I, when we were little, shared a room. He was 3 years older than me. And you know, I was kind of remembering a couple things about, you know, the bunk bed and strange things. And there was a moment that I wanted to ask him about. So I texted him and was asking him about, you know, what he remembered. And it was just one night that I had woken up and my brother was walking. He slept walked a lot, but he was walking back and forth on the top of the bunk bed, pretty much on the railing. And my parents, I don't know if I said something or what, but my parents came in and pulled him off of there. Not really paranormal, but, you know, that's, I wanted to ask him about that and see if he remembered. And he didn't remember that at all. And, you know, I was kind of explaining why I was asking him. And he said, you know, the bunk bed never really bothered me, but, you know, the stairs to the attic, which were in our room, really did bother him a lot. And I'm just like, okay. And I had written back, you know, kind of a ha ha ha. I remember you know, my brother and his friend always sitting in the closet or the stairwell that went up to the attic and, you know, clawing at the wall and, you know, whispering my name and stuff like that. And I said, yeah, that was pretty funny. And he replied back, I don't remember doing that. So I'm just like, okay, you know, what I always thought was my brother and his best friend in the closet trying to freak me out was really something in the closet trying to freak me out. So I don't know, it was just kind of funny. Anyway, I love you guys. I'm an EPP, and, you know, I look forward to all of your stories. Have a great day, and I'm sure I'll call in later. Bye.
Thank you, Jackie. Thanks for being an EPP and supporting the show. We greatly appreciate that. That's always fun. You recount some childhood memory, and you think, oh, yeah, remember when you used to do this or that? Oh, shit, that really wasn't you, was it?
Yeah, you can't unlearn that one, can you?
It's probably a good thing, though, that it took till, you know, that many years later to have that revelation. And it wasn't a conversation that happened over Captain Crunch and Crunchberries at the age of 10, you know, in the morning. Yeah, that was you, right? No. It would have made for a much more traumatic childhood.
Oh, sure.
And probably a bowl of Crunchberries that wouldn't get eaten because your stomach would probably just drop and no longer in the mood for Captain Crunch.
I never was in the mood for Captain Crunch.
No?
No.
I liked the peanut butter one, but it's very dry. And okay. And it really, you know, it's like, you know, how peanut butter, it's very much like peanut butter. Uh-huh. You know, you eat it, you're like it really dries your mouth out.
Huh.
Does the same thing.
Okay.
So I think it's tasty. What about Kix? Did you ever have Kix?
Kix were okay.
Did you like Kix?
They were okay. I liked Apple Jacks better.
They weren't bad. I liked Apple Jacks. I didn't get them very frequently.
Mm-hmm.
I never had Life. I don't even know what that tastes like.
No.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Honeycomb? Is Honeycomb still around?
I don't know. Oh, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I was just going to go there with that one.
It's the best.
Fruity Pebbles.
No, yuck.
Not a huge fan of that. Mm-mm. Trix were okay.
No.
But they're kids. They're for kids.
Yeah.
So we don't eat them.
Okay.
Just so you know. Okay.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. So this actually just happened a couple of minutes ago. So I am taking night classes since I work full-time during the day. And I live in a city that is probably 15 minutes east of the school that I go to. And the school that I go to actually is in the municipal part of the city. So there's a lot around it. So basically what I'm trying to say is I drive on a lot of county roads to get home because that's the only way I can to avoid traffic. So I was actually driving down one of the county roads that I go on every night. And my headlights weren't very bright. I have an older car, so it was kind of dim in the right side of my car. And I was pulling closer, and the speed limit was 35, so not going too fast. And I come across the shadow that looked like a man. And right now, local time, it's 9:20 at night, and there's not a lot of people in my city that I live in. It's a small town. There's not a lot of people that's going to be walking around at 9:20 at night. There's a lot of old people, and there's not very many senile ones. but I was slowing down because it looked like he was going to cross. He was sitting on the side of the road, and I was inching closer and closer, and I was going slower and slower, and my windows were down. So I was like, okay, so this guy's not moving. My windows are down. So I stopped, rolled up my windows, and then when I continued to go down that road, on that right side where the guy was, just completely gone. And usually I try to evaluate these things as explainable, but the thing I want to mention is on my right side was a cornfield, and on the left side there was another cornfield. So there was no ditches, there was no houses, I mean completely surrounded by cornfields. So unless he super fast and ran into a cornfield without me looking, so be it. But I thought that was kind of creepy how I kept inching and inching, it wasn't moving, and when I looked up, it was gone. So, just thought I'd share that weird experience with you. Like I said, it's never happened before, so I just thought I'd call in. If you guys want to put on there, that'd be great. And if not, so be it. All right, well, thanks, guys. Love the show. Have a great night. Bye.
I love it when we get a story that's brand new, just happened. Like, called in, like, within a couple days. That's great.
I like it when the folks should really be calling 911, but they call us instead.
That doesn't happen. That does not happen.
I have had that happen in at live radio.
Oh, I'm sure.
Back on the country station I was on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And you just want to shake the people. You're like, what? Why are you calling us first?
Uh-huh.
You know, why? I don't know. I don't know. It's like, I just saw a horrible accident. Da, 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 da. Are you the first person there? Yeah. You called 911. No, I just thought you wanted to put it in your traffic reports.
Wow.
Hang up and call 911. Okay. Yes. That's why I like our audience, because they're intelligent.
Yeah, we have a really, really intelligent audience.
It's refreshing. I'll say that much. Having come off of live radio.
Mm-hmm.
It is very, very intelligent and very nice to have. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's do another call.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Ashley from Illinois. I've called in before about seeing shadow people at my job. I'm the cleaning lady. So I was going to call you guys in last week because I had an experience at one of my evening jobs where I was sitting down for a break, and I didn't realize I had dozed off, which is really bad to do, and suddenly something shouted my name, and I woke up, like, instantly, and I realized that if I hadn't been shouted at, I never would have finished my job on time, which would have been very, very bad, obviously. At this job, I've seen, like, running out the corner of my eye. I just call it the running shadow person that lives at this place. It's never like a person. It's always just dark when I see it. And I've been seeing them a lot recently, but usually it happens around wintertime. I don't know why. But anyway, I was calling about that, and at my other job that I do before that today, I had a very strange experience, and I wanted your guys' opinion. I was suffering blinds, which I do a lot, and it's very mind-numbing. So I was listening to music and just letting my mind drift, and I just saw this, like, ugly face in my mind eye, and I was just like, oh, you know, sometimes your brain just comes up with things. So I was just trying to ignore it, and then there was just this pressure at the back of my head, but not, like, physically on my head. It just felt like it was inside my thoughts. And then it just got overwhelming, and then there was a pinch on my back, and I spun around, and nothing was there. I don't know what that means. Nothing else happened the rest of the day, but man, the shadow people were really active, running around at the second job after that. I don't really know what to do. I wanted your opinion. Should I try to contact the shadow people or just keep minding my own business and pretending nothing's happening? Yeah. Thank you.
Well,
I hope to hear it on the show, and I am an EVP, and I'll call in with more experiences later. Bye.
Thank you for the call. I would say it's never a great idea to start trying to interact with these things. If you're going to do anything, the only thing I might suggest doing or trying or saying would be simply, you're scaring me. Please stop doing that and see if that resolves the issue. Because sometimes that's what can make these sort of things calm down or stop. Although no guarantees, that could make it 10 times worse, and you may be missing an arm by the end of the year.
Not true.
Maybe not quite that far.
No way.
But you could get freaked out even more. It could get worse. But sometimes just not interacting, not, hey, who are you? I know you're around. What's your name? Don't go down that road. Like, just, hey, please stop. Whatever you are, whoever you are, you know, you're freaking me out. And if it's, you know, sometimes that is the key. Believe it or not, it sounds simple and almost idiotic, but it works.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, believe it or not. So it's something I didn't realize could work until we started doing the show and started hearing all the people who were trying that. And that simply seemed to do the trick in some cases. And then some, it's made it worse too. So
yeah,
no one really knows.
If you don't have an ass soul, it might just work.
Mm-hmm. And she's talking about the ghost, not you.
That's what I'm talking about. She knows that.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Ugh.
Cookie crisp.
No.
Not a big fan of that?
Just threw away a half-eaten box of that because nobody likes that.
That was just bleh. Yeah. Anyhow, one more call. Hi.
Hey, Tony. It's Kevin from Kentucky. Just a quick story. About 20 years ago, me and my son's mother was looking for a new house in the town we live. And we looked at this one on this little nice little subdivision. We were sitting there waiting for the realtor to show up. I told her, I said, well, I'm going to go back there and check out the backyard and see what's back there. And went around, started to hop the fence. And this was July, and July in Kentucky is always hot and humid as it was this day. And the second I touched the fence, both arms were cold, like it was almost like January. Went ahead and jumped the fence, looked around to see where some digging had been done. I was assuming a garden at that time, anyway. Looked around the pool area. Then the realtor got there, and I didn't say anything to the person I was with. We went inside and got to looking around the house. It was a very nice house. And went down the stairs to the downstairs bedrooms. As soon as I walked in the door down there, I told her, I said, something's not right down there. There's something bad happening in this room. And the realtor happened to hear me, and she said, oh, his son was kind of into some dark stuff. I don't think it was anything bad, but just dark stuff. We shut the door, and there was a pentagram on the back of the door. Well, me being sensitive like I am, that was enough for me. We didn't buy the house, but I went back the other day, and 21 plus years later, the house is still abandoned. Nobody's living in it. The yard's grown up, so I don't know if there's anything there or not, but it's enough to make me want to leave it. Anyway, enjoy the shows. Great job. Do enjoy hearing Jenny narrate some of the stories. But anyway, you guys do a great job. Keep up the good work. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay. I think a pentagram on a door is a good reason to not buy a house.
I think he made a good real estate choice.
Yeah.
Does a real estate agent, can you say that to the you might want to get rid of the pentagram on the door. That might turn some buyers off.
I think that would be a good staging tip.
Yeah, that might be. That would be a great conversation right there with someone who's done like a lot of staging in homes or just a real estate agent who has to go through and make suggestions to the homeowners of what you should and shouldn't have up. Like, what's some of the craziest things you've had to tell people to take down? That would be an interesting conversation. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Well, how about that large, velvet painting of you guys conceiving your first child that you have up on the mantle above the fireplace below the pentagram? That might be something to take down.
There's so many things wrong with what you just said. I'm not even going to know where to begin.
Is it the velvet part or?
Yeah, that's it. That's the single worst thing.
And it's actually the velvet sheets.
Shut up. Just stop.
That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, you want to keep it on the air, become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. You get a brand new bonus episode every single week. And, of course, access to all of our previous bonus episodes as well. We greatly appreciate your support. If you are an EPP, that is what keeps this show on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Go get some velvet.
No.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.